Well, hi there, Jonathan Dole with you once again for the weekly podcast, which regular listeners will know has not exactly been regular the last few weeks. Had some time with family, been travelling, took the bike up and did some really good training in a little warmer part of the country. Where I live, it actually snowed last Friday, so it's been a very cold winter, so it was good to get away. Speaking of snow and things, I actually went skiing for the first time ever. My younger brother was getting married, so we went up there, and all of my personality traits came out in one go. The desire to master something within 15 seconds was a bit of a problem. Another problem was the fact that there was about 50 ski instructors. And of the 50 ski instructors, God bless them, I got the worst one. I got this person, it was a 2-hour lesson, and they talked for 1 hour and 50 minutes. They did. They just talked and talked and talked, and they went on tangents and they talked some more. So I got 10 minutes of practice in, and after that 10 minutes, my brother showed up and said, "Okay, you've done your lesson, let's go." And then they took me up on chairlifts and, a lot of time in the weekly podcast. I'm talking about overcoming fears, and maybe occasionally I've mentioned mine. One of mine is heights. Like, I can fly and do planes and stuff. I can actually do skyscrapers. I can do ladders, house roofs, but for some reason, there I was in a chairlift, and it was gusting over 100 kilometers per hour. And they decided that they needed to do a wind check and stop the chairlift in the middle of nowhere, like about 50 feet above the ground. And my brothers are there, and they go, "Man, you're really quiet." And I'm going, "Well, there's a reason I'm really quiet. It's because I'm terrified." So there I was, and so that was kind of my first experience of skiing. It came with cold, mild hypothermia, lots of bruises, falling down endlessly, and a complete inability to master it. So, for someone like me who's into motivation, I guess it's a question of going back and trying again. In fact, I'm going to take the kids up there in a few weeks and have another go at it, because I could sort of see the appeal. I mean, for me, it's much more attractive kind of staring at snow, preferably inside a very well-heated chalet with some good food and a book. That would sort of be my ideal kind of skiing thing, just without the skiing. So that's what I've been up to. I've had some great travel recently, and I've had a chance to work with some great elite organizations, to work with some athletes and to work with some corporates, which has been really fantastic. And last week I got to do a leadership conference for 50 senior leaders in Western Australia, which was just great. So I'm back in the base and ready to really press in with some content. And I'm actually really excited about this week's one, because I want to thank somebody who's been a regular listener, who I hadn't heard before, and it's one of the coolest parts of the work that I get to do, is this person emailed me this morning. You know, I get up really early, and this email was there, and it said, "I've been listening to you for 2 years, and I'd never heard this person before, I'd never had contact with them." And to know that they've been listening, and, so it's really cool. So if you're a regular listener, it's I really value that I get a chance to make some contribution to your life. But this email was awesome, and I'm not going to tell you their name, and I'm not going to give you too many exact details, because I want to protect their anonymity. But if I could sort of, I guess, introduce what they were dealing with and the issue they'd like to like me to discuss, it's around the whole area of self-confidence, of feeling confident, and what we do in life when certain things, are happening, and our confidence gets rocked. We pretty much all go through it at some stage. Like, no matter, I guess so much of the time we're presenting our best selves, and reality TV and so much modern media and marketing presents this endless best self. So it's not unusual that at times we'd feel kind of inadequate or unsure of ourselves when we're presented with these amazing images of perfection everywhere. So I guess my first point is that confidence and lack of confidence is something that we've all experienced, and I can promise you, I can put my hand up and say, absolutely, it's been a big part of my life. And people see me on stage or they hear me on the podcast and they think, wow, I must be the most dynamic, sort of out there, confident person. And at times I am. Like, at times I feel really blessed and very confident in what I get to do. But that hasn't always been the case in my life. Like a lot of people that do what I do, we do it because we've come from the opposite of it. We've come from experiences of really not feeling confident and feeling very afraid. And there's been so many times in my life when I have felt really afraid. Even recently, I was invited to do a speaking engagement, which was outside of my normal area. And this involved some major international figures were in the room. And here I was speaking. And it was like, you know, this is a big step for me. And, you know, you never start a speech saying, hey, I'm really nervous because I've never done this. But you suddenly realize it's a step. And I did feel nervous. And a little bit of stress, a little bit of tension can be a good thing. I mentioned that in a previous podcast. So the thing with stress and nerves is to get just enough when we have to perform for it to be useful, but not so much that it really holds us back. So we're going to talk a little bit about their circumstance. And you know, their experience is that they've been studying for a couple of years in a pretty challenging degree that they really like, but they've noticed that their grades have been slipping and their confidence seems to be slipping a bit, and they're looking around them at other people in the course who seem to be just doing it perfectly, and their confidence is a bit rocked. And they're also feeling a similar kind of thing in their exercise goals, that, you know, they do a bit of exercise, it's something they've always done well, but they're aware that, you know, that they're just not feeling confident in that area as well. So I want to talk about that. First thing I want to do is talk about one of the greatest psychologists in the world, a lady called Dorothy Rowe. Now, ages ago, I was in a bookshop, and the title of the book, and I can't even see it here in the studio, but it was a great book. I think it was called Overcoming Fear. And I bought it because I thought, oh, wow, it'll be a good sort of motivational book. I'll get some tips. Turns out, 600-page book, and it was an in-depth analysis of pathology, of psychological pathology, of how, of you know, things like, you know, chronic depression and schizophrenia and all this stuff, and it was really interesting. It's one of the most influential books I think I've ever read. Why? Because her premise, she starts off saying, look, when you're born, you basically don't have confidence issues. When you're a little baby, up to the age of kind of 2, 3, everything you do, I mean, if you've got half decent normal parents around you, everything you do is celebrated. You take a step, everyone cheers. You know, you drool and everyone cheers. You know, you sleep through the night, everyone cheers. Everything you do is validated. Every tiny developmental stage you do is validated. But then there comes a point a little bit later, and begin to realize that, you know, we do things that our parents don't like, and the very first experiences come of love being conditional. We start to realize that, you know, if we behave certain ways, we get validated and rewarded, and sometimes we do things that people don't like, and they can be really, you know, people get angry at us. So Dorothy Rowe puts it back to this very early psychological experience that we all go through. It's part of living in the world, and, you know, no parents are perfect, no children are perfect. But, you know, it's not rational, but we carry these kind of pretty early wounds of we slowly emerge into our more developed psyche, aware that, you know, we have to do things for people to like us. We have to behave in certain ways for people to like us. Now, again, we need that because if we didn't, our societies would just disintegrate with everybody just doing whatever they felt was the right thing to do. But that's where the early wounds come. And then, of course, if you're anything like me or most people, you go through high school, you have experiences of bullying, and all sorts of stuff happens. You know, and I can look back and see so many times in high school where the pressure to fit in, the peer group pressure. I mean, I reckon if you're listening to this, you've been through that. You can definitely pick one or two experiences in your teen years, adolescence, where you got rocked. You know, you wanted to fit in and you just didn't have the clothes, or you didn't say the right thing, or you didn't look like this person, or you couldn't do this, that, or the other. And we carry those wounds. So this is a really important opening principle. We all carry these wounds. You know, even the most together people in the world often carry deep wounds of rejection. And, you know, that's part of the human experience. But it's interesting that often some of the most successful people carry these wounds, don't deal with them, and then they medicate them with drugs and alcohol. You know, look at so many people in Hollywood. You know, these people with perfect bodies, seemingly perfect lives. They seemingly have everything, and yet they're carrying deep, you know, internal wounds and pain and pressure and stress. So this lack of confidence, this wounding that comes to all of us, is a normal part of the human experience. Now, obviously, we don't want it to be debilitating. So the goal is not how do we get rid of all these things as if they never happened, because they're part of us. We're all carrying these wounds. But how can we learn strategies and paradigms and ways of being in the world that allow us to kind of grow through them? So let's press back into the email that I received. So I want to answer these sort of, you know, in detail, because they're going to apply to you as well. There's going to be areas of your life where these will resonate. So they talked firstly about, you know, starting this difficult degree, and it is a difficult degree they're doing, and beginning to lose interest. You know, they said, I started it was interesting, it was inspiring, and my grades have really slipped and I've begun to lose interest part way. So first thing, there's a cultural myth that so much of what we have to do must always be fun. You know, this great big media marketing landscape is all about everything must always be fun. You know, if it's not awesome all the time, I don't know if you've seen the new Lego movie, if you've got kids, it's this very cool song at the start, and it just goes, everything is awesome. It's just like this hyper, everything's perfect, wonderful, all the time. And it's a really catchy little song. My kids walk around the house going, everything is awesome. So the issue is that, you know, sometimes in life it's not. So if you've hit halfway through a degree or halfway through anything, there's going to come a time when you slump. This happens in marriage. This happens in any meaningful relationship. This happens often in a career. You hit a slump point. And what so many people do is they go, oh, well, you know, this means that I'm not meant to do it because I'm not happy all the time. I think we need to firstly get over this idea of being happy all the time. Now, this is going to sound hard, but sometimes we've just got to do what's hard. Sometimes, now I am going to address all the stuff on confidence and everything, but the first thing I want to do here is just say to whoever you are listening, now whether you're the person that wrote the email or whoever you are listening, we're all going to have these moments. We're all going to have these times when it's just like, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. And I think one of the marks of greatness, one of the marks of really stepping up in life and achieving and growing is the ability to press through when things are difficult. So I wrote an entire chapter in my book on that, perseverance, just keep going. You know, the generation that was sort of born around World War I, lived through the end of World War I, and then fought in World War II is often referred to by sociologists and demographers as the Great Generation. You know, why? Because these guys knew suffering. They knew hardship. They knew when things were just really, really tough. You know, you think of Churchill's famous, you know, quotes. You know, I've shared this before, but I want you to remember these. Churchill, a couple of great quotes, was the first one was spoken to British pilots in the Battle of Britain. He said, the important thing to remember when you're going through hell is to keep going. You know, when things are really difficult, that's a great quote. When the important thing to remember when you're going through hell is to keep going. Don't set up camp. So the first thing I want to say to this person is when it's tough, you know, how do you know when to quit? And I wrote this in the book. You quit when things are toxic, when they're causing damage to your health or damage to relationships. You know, when you're doing something and you're really persevering and you're striving and it's hard, you quit if, you know, how do you know when it's the wrong thing? You know when it's the wrong thing because it's toxic, because it's wounding you, it's hurting your physical health, mental health, it's hurting and wounding other people in your life. But I don't think that's the case here. Like Churchill, and his other quote was, you know, he said, never, ever give up. You know, perseverance, just keep going. I really recommend to you the books by Stephen Pressfield. His book, Do the Work, Stephen Pressfield's book, Do the Work, and the War of Art. Those kind of books are about, you know what, sometimes you just got to really man up and you just got to push through. Yesterday, you know, I've been on the bike a lot. I've been doing a lot of riding. I had flights back and forth across the country and I was really tired yesterday and I got a lot of energy, but I was really knocked around from the travel and a few other things. And basically, I can remember just pushing through, and so many times I wanted to just take a break and go and do stuff. And there's definitely times I do take breaks. But I just went, you know, just keep going. Just get through the work. Just keep going. And I found that after you kind of hit a crisis point when you're really struggling, and if you just press on beyond that crisis point, you come through. You know, and that could be your marriage. It could be your dating relationship. It could be studying for exams. It could be sport. You know, that old saying, it's always darkest just before the dawn. So the person that sent me the email, I just want to say, you know what? It's okay that you've got halfway through and it's difficult, but don't quit. Just keep going. You know, even if the next 2 years is hard, it's all right. Just get through, get the qualification, get it done. And you know, the other thing to remember is that, you know, just remember the original reasons you committed to something. Like, well, you know, years ago, my career started with a 4-year teaching degree. And there's a lot written in the papers about the quality of teaching degrees. And I can promise you, it was a 4-year degree and it was utterly useless. I learned nothing. I'm not making that up. 4 years of my life, I had to keep going out there. It was a whole bunch of politically correct, blah, 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 blah. I learned nothing. You know, but before that, I'd done a gap year working with students overseas, and I was naturally really good at it. Naturally really good. I loved being with young people. I loved coaching sport. I loved great literature and sharing ideas with young people. So what got me through the course was going, you know what, I just got to tick the box here. I just got to get this done because I remembered what originally got me into the course. So whether it's your course, your marriage, whatever it is, when it's tough, go back to a time when you connected with why you wanted to do it. You know, if you're in school and you got a really difficult exam, you know, especially if you're in later years, you probably chose the subject. There was a time when you went, you know, that interests me. So hold on to those original beliefs, those original goals you had, and just tap into them. Journaling. My gosh, how much do I talk about journaling? You know, write down why you did it originally. What, you know, when was the time that I knew this was the right thing to do? What did I feel back then? Why did I select this course? Why did I choose this person? Why did I decide to get married? Why did I select this career? Whatever it is, you know, drill down into those original feelings that really connected with why you wanted to do it. So that's a summary on, now all of that is simply just saying this, press on. When it's tough, keep going. Just keep going. Just get it done. You know, your life will eventually open up and things will resolve. So the next thing I wanted to address in the talk, in this short sequence, was they said that in the, you know, in their study, they've become intimidated by the skills of others. They begun to look around and they see these other people. They notice that they're doing really well in the study. And they're not. And they're like, get quite intimidated and they become quieter. They don't contribute to class. First thing is I've been there too. When I did my second master's, it was a very high-end master's degree. It was very academically rigorous, probably, you know, with really some of the smartest people in this discipline in the world. And I can promise you, I remember sitting there thinking, wow, there are people here that are just really, really amazing at this. But for some reason, it never bothered me, and I'll tell you why. There's a great poem called The Desiderata, and if I can find it, I'll try and post it underneath the podcast here. If you haven't heard it before, it's a very famous poem. It's about 450 years old, but there's a line in it that says, there will always be greater and lesser persons than yourself. You know, there'll always be people that are just exponentially awesome at, you know, doing what they do, but that doesn't mean that you can't do what you do. You know, there are definitely better speakers than me in the world. Like so many people who care about motivation and all this stuff. I look at guys like Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, Eric Thomas. These guys are just brilliant speakers, you know, who've addressed millions of people. But if I sat around and went, well, I'm never going to speak because I'm not as good as them, you know, well, then I'd be ripping off all the people that do listen to me and all the people that I have been able to reach. So there's always going to be better people than me. There'll always be people that I can do things better than. So we all fit in somewhere. So when you're sitting in a class or in your business environment and somebody's heaps better than you are, that's okay. I'm just like, that's them. I just have this kind of filter where I just go, I'm not meant to be them. So you just need a paradigm shift. You're not meant to be them. They have their skill sets and they might be excellent at some aspects of the study or some aspects of business or some aspect of sport, but they're not excellent, all of them. And there'll be something that you are better than them at. And yes, it looks obvious that they can do this amazing stuff, but they'll always be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Your job, now get this point, if you get one thing out of this podcast, this is it. Be the best you that you can possibly be. You can't be them. Your job is to be the absolute best you. That's a really important filter. See, my job isn't to be Tony Robbins. It's Tony Robbins' job to be Tony Robbins. It's, you know, Jim Rohn or Brian Tracy's job to be Brian Tracy, not me. My job is to be the best Jonathan Doyle I can be, to read as much as I can, to learn as much as I can. You know, I spoke at this conference in Perth last week for 2 days, and it was 2 days solid. I spoke for 2 days solid. And so much of the time, I was just hammering a whiteboard. Why? Because so many ideas just kept coming out of my head. Books that I'd read, quotes of poetry, you know, famous pieces of music, just ideas and ideas and ideas and ideas. They just kept coming. Why? Because that's my life. Because my life journey has had all these things happen in it. And when I'm up in front of people, that's the gift that I bring. So bring your gift. There's another great quote from a very famous philosopher called John Duns Scotus. And he said, all human comparison is essentially diabolical. Let me flesh this out for you. He said, all human comparison is essentially diabolical. It's an incredibly important quote. Why? Because basically he says, every way in which we compare ourselves to another person, he says, is diabolical, is evil. You know, why? Because basically God creates you and you're a one of a kind. You are literally never going to exist again in cosmic history. And the more that we look around and go, well, I don't want to be like this, I want to be like someone else, it's rejecting the gift that you are. So you can't be them. And just stop trying. I mean, gosh, you could fix your life in so many ways if you stop trying to be like other people. Now, when I went to this conference the other day, it was really funny. Because I do a lot of video and stuff and people see me and I turn up somewhere, it's happened a few times. This fantastic young lady, she said, "Oh, I thought you were taller." And I'm like, what do? Apologize? Do I go, you know, go get some of those, like the French president has 6-inch special heels made for his boots. Like, get some big heels, you know? I'm like, you know, it doesn't faze me because this is me. My whole life, I've been whatever I am, you know, 5'8". I'm like, this is me. And my brothers used to give me a hard time and I copped it during school. But you know what? That's part of the journey. And I've just got to be me. So don't get intimidated by the skills of other people. Don't. Let them be them. Let them have their journey. Let them have their wins. You know, they might just be the most... I can think of guys when I went to school that just, you know, ducks of the school and brainiacs and got into all these amazing degrees. And you know, so what? You know, that's their music. You know, that's their thing they're playing. That's their thing. That's their gig. But I'm not called to be them. So let go of that. I really, whatever area of life you're in, business, sport, art, music, study, whatever it is, let it go. Just be you. Last major thing here is they really had some questions about confidence, which was, you know, how do you actually grow in confidence? It's a great question, isn't it? Like, so I want to give you a few ideas here. I guess one of the first things is what I'd call skill acquisition. So I remember my wife, Karen, who is a brilliant public speaker. She's brilliant for a bunch of reasons. She is the most hardworking. She does huge amounts of preparation. Like when she's asked to speak, she doesn't speak often. She's very selective. But when it's a big conference, she'll go and she will work for weeks. She will be meticulous. Like, you know, I'm the kind of guy that'll just have my broad outlines of what I do. And I just take that stuff and I just go with it. So I get my broad outlines ready to go. Karen, on the other hand, does all the prep. But years ago, she was terrified of public speaking. She was I'm talking off the charts. She just did not do public speaking. And we were at that time working at a boarding school. We were newly married. I was a teacher. She was there. And the students were invited to do this Toastmasters course. And if you haven't heard of Toastmasters, you got to go. Toastmasters is a global organization that helps people with public speaking. And it's absolutely amazing. And she had to go, and part of Toastmasters is I think it's called table topics. You just have to stand up and you're given a random topic and you just got to speak about it. And this killed her. She was so nervous, but over weeks and weeks and weeks, she began to do this and she faced this fear and she just very slowly got better and better and better. And then she got really, really good. So this is what they call skills acquisition. And so elite athletes as well, what do? Skills acquisition. They do this constant acquisition of skills. So one of the first things you can do for confidence is identify, okay, what am I lacking confidence in? Is it, you know, how I'm dressing, how I'm talking? Is it a particular task that I have to do? Because once you've identified where the confidence gap is, then you can actually go and, you know, begin to acquire the skill. So you find out what it is you're not good at and then begin to do it. So the next key thing, so we've done skills acquisition, the next one is what I call, very simple, repetition. You have to do more and more and more of whatever it is that you lack confidence in. Most people don't want to do it. We are massive avoiders. We avoid in culture. Alcohol is the big one, overeating, food, junk TV, time wasting, social media. There are so many ways that we avoid, but you know, I'm big for finding what it is that we have to do, facing that fear by doing lots of it. Now, I give you tons of examples. Again, from elite sport, what do? You know, they get confidence by endlessly doing the same drills. You know, how many balls do you think, you know, Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods hit in an average week on a golf course? You know, how many passes or kicks do elite football players, you know, work on every week? Tennis players, you know, Roger Federer. How many balls do you think he's hit in his life? You know, it's not like he had, I've got talent and I'm just going to turn up and whack it. It's like, no, I've got talent, but I'm going to just do this endlessly and work on it all the time. My experience recently, you know, really getting into cycling at a high level is I struggled for ages with downhill speed. You know, I had a very strong work ethic. If we were on the flats or going up hills, I could just work hard, right? I had no problem with working hard, getting fitter and just pushing and pushing and pushing. What I did struggle with was going downhill at about 80 or more kilometers an hour on a piece of rubber, which is 25 millimeters across. So I'm like, you know, freaking out because I had a whole bunch of things. I was like, I'd had a few crashes. I had young kids and just the whole thing of when you're doing 80 Ks an hour down a hill, and you're just wearing Lycra, there's always a sense of, OMG, if something happens, if something goes wrong, if a piece of equipment fails, I could probably die here, or at least the level of pain I'm about to experience will be extraordinary. And it's not just me. There's actually a guy riding in the Tour de France this year who had huge problems with it. He was a really gifted rider, and he had some crashes, and it threw him psychologically, and he just massively struggled. So that was my experience too. But what I've noticed over the last 12 months is simply going down more hills more often, the fear gets less and less. I'm just more and more confident in the equipment, in myself, in the whole experience. And I just got that way, not because I read a book, not because I, you know, practiced cognitive behavior therapy, not because I journaled, nothing. It was just doing it enough. So whenever you lack confidence, just do more of it. You know, remember the first time I jumped off a 10-meter diving tower? It's not something I do all the time or that I would recommend, but the first few times, you just got to do it a lot of times and the fear gradually begins to go away. The next thing about confidence is celebrate small wins. Celebrate small wins. So sometimes you've just got to have a few wins, you know, like you got to have a little win and go out and do something for yourself. Often if I've been working very, very hard and I've had a few wins, I go and buy myself a little present. You know, I love clothes and nice guy stuff like briefcases and really nice high quality gear like that. So if I've been smashing myself for ages and really contributing and working hard, you know, I celebrate the small wins. You know, often Karen and I go out for dinner to celebrate something. Just, you know, confidence grows when you recognize it. So celebrate the small wins. Say to yourself, I'm going to face this fear. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn this skill. I'm going to do this much repetition. And then in a month's time or 3 weeks' time, I'm going to plan a small celebration and tell people about it. You know, just celebrate those small wins. The other thing they talked about relating to this kind of lack of confidence and a bunch of stuff was similar in exercise. They said they used to, you know, do exercise 3 to 4 times a week, but they've begun to lose a bit of confidence and just not be as into it. So a couple of quick tips with exercise, which is an absolute bedrock of my life. You know, exercise has had massive impacts in my life. But one thing you can do is if you're getting stale with exercise, then a few basics, structured competition. Sometimes it's just having an event coming up. Freshens up your training. So, you know, I ride all the time and I have been aware recently I do the same rides with the same people every week. Yes, they're intense and they're high level, but the same. It's the same course, it's the same people. I still love it to bits, but I got an email the other day from my cycling club, which was like, there's a big race coming up in December and they're offering a special training program and a whole thing we do leading up to that event. So I'm doing that. Why? Because it freshens up the training. Because it's like, okay, I've got this big event coming up. It's going to be a great experience. Going to meet some new people. Going to have all these goals. And I'm going to take the family up to the event. It's going to be really, really awesome. So sometimes it's just like city to surf or find some event in whatever sport you're into where you've got to train and you've got to have goals to do that. And also, really, exercise is probably going to be most effective when you involve others. There's a few of us that are a bit zen, that like to get out for hours on our own, but often if you're getting a bit stale, join a club that does your sport or meet some new people or involve others or train or run or swim with other people. You know, we're social beings, and sometimes if you need to really freshen up, just make a decision. Now, this is the difference. In my book, you know, I can tell you all these ideas, but I can't make you do them. It's a really crucial thing is just say, right, you know what? I'm not just going to listen to Jonathan. I'm going to actually do it. I'm going to go and find a club. I'm going to join it. And friends, if you're like me, when you join, you'll be nervous. You've got to meet new people and you're out of your comfort zone for a couple of weeks till you settle in and meet people, but just get out there and do it. So last couple of things on confidence is, you know, also don't forget to focus on what you are good at. You know, if you're in a classroom or this person who is studying and they get intimidated by the other students, you know, put some focus on what you're already good at. You know, there's always going to be areas of your course or things in your career or business or that you are good at. So confidence comes from going, you know what, you're good at that. You know, for me, I've done so much public speaking over a decade or more now, hundreds of thousands of people. I have some confidence in my ability to bring an audience with me. Why? Because I've done it so many damn times. You know, and because I know this is my gift, this is what I do. I'm not good at a whole bunch of other things, but I have confidence by focusing on what I am good at. Now, one last quick one I want to try and remember is just recently, there was a sense of just the decision to back yourself. It's something I had never really done. I'd never really thought much about this. There was something in me that was always like, you know, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to strive up there on the stage. I'm going to give all this energy. But there was never a sense of just relaxing, going, you know what, just back yourself. You can do this. And then we were in a hotel recently, had all, you know, with Karen and the kids. My brother was getting married. This is just a couple of weeks ago. And the kids had the Disney Channel on. Now, this can be funny, but I'm a big believer in the fact that actually, you know, sometimes insight and wisdom and breakthrough can come from the weirdest places. So it cuts to this sort of, you know, a little mini documentary on Disney. And there's this male Disney presenter, and he's some American, you know, hyper, you know, amazing looking, perfect, square jawed quarterback type, you know, Mr. Perfection. And he's talking, and they had this question, you know, and they said to him, what would you say if you could talk to your younger self? I don't know why I was watching this, but he just said, you know, if I could go back and talk to my younger self, he said, I would just say, you know, trust yourself, back yourself. You've got the skills to do this. You can do it. And I just went, that's really interesting, you know? And then I heard another speaker say it again on a podcast a few weeks later. He was like, yeah, just maybe just back yourself. Maybe just go, you know what? You can do this. I trust you. Trust yourself just to step up. And, you know, don't be afraid of failure. In my book, I write about failure. In podcasts on this site, I've talked about failure. Also, the last thing I want to leave you with is, in the book, I wrote a whole chapter on threshold experiences. And that's crucially the idea of putting yourself in a place where the environment forces you to perform. And what happens is successful people seek those out. They actually don't just let life happen to them. They go, I'm going to put myself in a place where I have to perform. And for me, you know, the example that I've been giving the last year is, again, in cycling, you know, I get around people that are much better than me. And being around them forces me to come up to their level. And then that level brings confidence. I can tell you on the bike now, you know, I'm 40 years of age. I'm spotting most of these guys 20 years, but I feel more confident on the bike. I know I can hold my own. Why? Because I positioned myself in places where I had to work hard, and the environment reinforced it and sustained it. So don't let that just be an idea. You've got to seek those things out. So firstly, excuse me for clearing my throat so many times on this presentation. It's very early still, and I've got a mild little cough there, so I'm going to try and edit those out, but if one or two got through, please forgive me. Now, I hope that there has been so much gold in there for you. There is. I want you to listen to this a few times about how to improve in confidence. There's a lot of stuff there to learn from. So let me know if it's useful. Please share this with people. If you've got friends, grab the URL and send that link to them. Say, hey, listen to this, and say to them, you should sign up for this. You can. I'll give you the iTunes link. You know, find it on iTunes and subscribe. Just keep, you know, taking the ideas on board. You just need one or two good ideas to really shift your life. If you're in business, you know, have a think about letting me come to work with your team and or your organization, your staff, and we can talk about some of these peak performance ideas and how to really grow together. So I'm Jonathan Doyle, the Weekly Podcast, back on track. Hope this is useful. Let me know how you go, and I'll be speaking with you again really soon.